There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad you are here. Lots to do on today's show. And speaking of brave council, will the council next week, will they take a vote? Will they move it on another week or two to whether to fund the plan here for giving $10 million to South for their stadium in exchange for money back to do a new facility down at LAD? Will they say yes to what now the plan seems like, giving money to LAD, giving money to USA, and giving money to a project, a Maysville project? Is that on too? Is that where we are? Well, we might talk about that coming up after a bunch of stuff on today's show. Danny Litford's going to join us, our buddy in studio here. So if you've got a question, you know, you've got maybe your summer project that you never got done, it's time to get done now. If you want a tip on something in your kitchen, your bathroom, roofing, attic, saving money, getting ready for winter. Listen, if it's in your home, obviously Danny can answer those questions. He's going to join us at 1 today. So get those questions ready. And even if you can't be on the phone with us at that point, you can go ahead and text in your question to 343-0106, 343-0106. Text it in, and I'll put him on a list here. And then when he's in, even if you're back in the office, you're listening online at fmtalk1065.com or whatever it is, you listen through one of the TuneIn radio app, I can ask the question for you. So either you can ask it yourself in the 1 o'clock hour, or if you can't do it then, go ahead and text it in to 343-0106. Also, because Danny Litford joins us in the 1 o'clock hour, normally we're doing 6.5 stories in the 1 o'clock hour, but today, special time, special date, 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig moves till 12:30. So up an hour for 6.5 stories, and then coming up at 1, Danny Litford joins us. So that's all on the way today, and of course your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, let's see, two notes here. Yeah, two, okay. A couple notes. Our online opinion poll question. We talked about it this morning, and it is just, I mean, it is like popping. And I haven't even pulled up the latest traffic on it, but I can just tell by how fast the percentages change, you know, the number of votes and how fast the percentage, like if there's a whole bunch of people, it changes more slowly. If there are fewer people, it changes faster, obviously, because of percentage. Right now, you can see just kind of the ticking of it and the pacing of it. It's busy. Yes, 83% of y'all support the United States investing in a Space Force. We talked about Space Force this morning. Of course, it was yesterday, Vice President Pence talking about the need for a Space Force, why the United States should engage in a Space Force. He had this to say at the Pentagon.
We will create a single civilian position reporting to the Secretary of Defense to oversee the growth and expansion of this new branch of the service. This position will be a new Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space, and this leader will be key to the critical transition to a fully independent Secretary of the Space Force in the years ahead. Today, other nations are seeking to disrupt our space-based systems and challenge American supremacy in space as never before. For many years, nations from Russia and China to North Korea and Iran have pursued weapons to jam, blind, and disable our navigation and communication satellites. And that's precisely why we're beginning the process of establishing the Space Force as the sixth branch of our armed forces. Just as in the past, when we created the Air Force, establishing the Space Force is an idea whose time has come. The space environment has fundamentally changed in the last generation. What was once peaceful and uncontested is now crowded and adversarial. The time has come to establish the United States Space Force.
There it goes. So Vice President yesterday talking about this Space Force idea. Of course, it's one that I think we obsessed a little bit on the logos this morning because I think they're pretty silly looking. But people can vote right now through the site here. I think we linked it through on the Twitter feed for which logo you like best. Space Force, are we in need of that? I mean, I think we could, most of us that aren't complete sticks in the mud can argue that there's a need for the ability to protect, whether they be satellites or other things, dealing with space, having what our space knowledge is from our astronauts in with the fighting force knowledge of our military. I think that's a fair assessment. Does it need to be under its own umbrella, or could it be done within the branches of the armed services that already exist? So all this, and you got to think about the, not saying that Mike Rogers and others don't believe it, Representative Rogers, but it does benefit our state, right? I mean, I tell you ahead of time when I'm being a homer about something, you would hope that a representative from North Alabama would be a homer too. So take this with the grain of space salt here. So reaction yesterday on Twitter from Alabama leaders, Mike Rogers, Representative Mike Rogers, said, "I'm thrilled about the news today. We in the House have been warning for years about the threats to our space assets and the unacceptably slow pace to develop more capable space systems." He went on to tweet, "I look forward to continuing to work with the administration on the establishment of a much-needed independent space force and appreciate President Trump's leadership on this vital issue to national security. Thank you for the shout out at VP for the Redstone Arsenal facility in Huntsville, Alabama, at the Pentagon today." Of course, okay, got to get that in. Of course, big deal for the Huntsville area. One would imagine, I guess, I don't know where the command center, other than the Pentagon, where the command center would be for Space Force. Also, a guest on this show quite a bit, Congressman Mo Brooks, AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks, obviously in that neighborhood, said America's military relies heavily on its space assets to secure our homeland against potential attackers. In this age of highly advanced weaponry, many of our most lethal and crucial weapon systems depend on global positioning satellites to function properly. And Chinese and Russian anti-satellite weaponry threaten those assets. For this reason, a dedicated space force is critical to protecting America's national security interest and freedoms against those who would destroy them. He added, as a member of the House Armed Services Committee who has supported Space Force for years, from way back, y'all, I am pleased President Trump has aggressively pursued establishing Space Force as the sixth branch of the military. Vice President Pence today detailing the dire need for Space Force and describing what the Pentagon needs from Congress to stand up Space Force in the coming years is a welcome step in the process going forward. I'm committed to working with the President, my colleagues, and the Pentagon to ensure Space Force is adequately funded and equipped. So there's Mo Brooks. So you had, of course, two folks that have, you know, the work going on in their backyard up there in North Alabama, Mike Rogers and Mo Brooks, both commenting yesterday on that. So there you go. Oh, by the way, too, I mean, you could get a lot of us, I guess, interested in it. I think Mo Brooks was smart mentioning GPS, making sure the GPS satellites function properly. Of course, as people who fish around here, you bottom fish, snapper fishermen or whatever, we're very concerned with having the GPS technology work. Right, well, I mean, they'd wipe us out if they took out that satellite, then wouldn't be able to fish. All right, grab phone calls when we get back. 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, text line open, and I see people texting in here. You can get your questions for Danny. He's getting in here in the 1 o'clock hour. Danny Lipford joins us, so you've got some home improvement questions. You can lay them out right there. Okay, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5. Check your radar. Thunderstorms probably somewhere near you in Mobile and Baldwin County. More of this as Dr. Bill for today and tomorrow. Sunday seems to be the better of the two weekend days for outside activities. Unless you don't care about getting rained on, then, you know, hey, do what you want. Also, tonight at Inside Activity, this is good. You got to get yourself there, but once you're there, it's inside at Cottage Hill Package. Orpheus Brewing is coming to Mobile, specifically Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Another great event, another great tasting, another great free event. They're coming, Jimmy from Orpheus Brewing, bringing their Atlanta Tart Plum Saison, Serpent Bite Dry Hopped Golden Sour Ale, their Over and Over Pineapple Sour Ale, their Transmigration of Souls Double IPA, Wandering Blues Blueberry Sour Ale, and some surprises and probably some swag as well, some logoed stuff for their brewery. Chance of taste a sample of those beers, see if it's something that you like, and pick up a six-pack or find a craft beer you love or a wine or a spirit or maybe a cigar for the weekend. All right there. Huge selection for you. Cottage Hill Package. Online at cottagehillpackage.com. Check them out on Facebook or just go out 6 o'clock tonight for this free beer tasting event in the back room there at Cottage Hill Package. All right, 1220. We'll grab some calls. I got a lot of text here to get through. And Rachel is checking in from, it says S-Mobile, like South Mobile, like South Mobile County. It says S-Mobile. Is that where you are, Rachel? Where's
right.
that?
Right. Uh-huh. South Mobile.
All right. Good deal.
Yeah. I was calling because I haven't heard anybody mention it lately. There was a time whenever our governor mentioned that we could maybe get rail service, passenger rail service, mm-hmm. through Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost would be $5 million. And, of course, it was not, everybody didn't want that. But now a football stadium comes up at a cost of $10 million, and they've got the money for that. And I think more people would use the rail service, and South Alabama students and alumni could pay for their stadium. And South Alabama owns a lot of property in Mobile. So I just wondered why we couldn't come up with $5 million for rail service.
Well, if you're talking about the most recent time, Rachel, the like within the last month or two that it came up?
That the rail service was in the last 2 months, yes.
Yes, okay. So that deal, so the way that went down is Governor Kay Ivey had the ability to direct some money to that project here, and that was not done. The way I understand it, until somebody clarifies it more for me, that either she did it of just her own opinion there, or the fact was I heard that she was not petitioned by the local representative from that district. And it's kind of like part and parcel of how business is done, that you would, you know, if you're the local rep for whatever district you are, you then petition the governor for grant money that would affect your area, and that wasn't done. Now, I don't know if that means Governor Ivey would have done it then or not. I don't know how that would play out.
Yeah.
But that was part of the process. You know, one of the things that I was told on this rail thing, now once again, this is all just, I'm not telling you fact, I'm telling you what people tell me. And uh-huh. Rachel, that next year, that same kind of grant money will be there, and they're going to go hard for it next year.
Okay.
So I don't, like, don't hold me to it. I'm not making that decision. I'm just telling you what they're telling me.
Yeah, well, I just know I would love to have access to the rail passenger service. And there are so many my age, I'm 80 now, I can't drive as much or as far as I want to see my children, but I could ride a train.
Well, I tell you what, I'm your junior. I'm 46, and I'd like to ride a train. I just want to make sure we can afford it, you know, in the city. It's interesting when I think the only danger is when there's matching funds out there. We've gotten ourselves in trouble in the city before when there's, you know, hey, there's this federal money and this federal money, and all you have to do is come up with 10 or 25 or 50% of it, but then you realize that number is one we can't achieve. But you're saying is you're comparing the fact that it was a no, in your opinion, for the train, but they would have $10 million for the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. Rachel, that's fair.
The governor, I know she can't obligate the state to the rail service and election time and all that.
Right.
So,
right.
I know it can't happen right now, but maybe next year it will come up.
And that's what I'm told. Rachel, I appreciate your call, and we will, believe me, because I'm interested in that stuff too. If anything new on that comes up, I will pass it along. Which, by the way, let's talk stadium for a second. I guess, you know, we're going to talk some Space Force, and we get a second here, we can do that. But I want to just run through a stadium, a little stadium talk here, okay? City Council is going to be, I guess, Tuesday, we'll be voting on this letter of intent, okay? A letter of intent between the city and South. That would be this, what we've talked about umpteen times, $10 million to South over the next 20 years, right? So it's structured payment, $10 million over 20 years. That would be for construction of their stadium, Then there was part of that, remember, $2.5 million came back immediately, which at first had me scratching my head, and now I kind of understand what they're doing. But $2.5 million would come. They would pledge, the city of Mobile would pledge $10 million over 20 years to South for this, I guess, to pay towards the bond to build the stadium. $10 million is part of, what, 70-something million they say it's going to take to do it. Then $2.5 million comes out of that bond immediately. The money they get paid comes back to the city. City uses that to put a new structure where Ladd Peoples is. Okay. So the city is on for a couple things. The city is going to be on for bringing Ladd up to compliance. And then going forward, we've been given some pretty hefty numbers on what the maintenance going forward would be. So you got to ask, you know, is it penny wise, dollar foolish? I don't know that, because I mean, I look at the numbers here, but that's what has been kind of laid out. And looking at the overall, not the line item, but looking at the overall, it does look like there's an argument to be made for being, you know, making this move now versus having to pay it over long term. But also the chatter has been, what happens if Ladd stays in this state? And I, you know, this comes up all the time. It's the, hey, you'll lose the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl will go to Jacksonville or wherever. We've heard that in the past, right? So if they're saying, if this USA Stadium doesn't happen, they're saying that it's going to leave Ladd no matter what. At least a lot of people are saying that the Senior Bowl in one shape or form will be leaving Ladd. I don't know that's true. It's just what they're saying. In other words, it would leave Ladd and either go to a new USA stadium down the road, you know, in a year or two, whenever it would be built, or it will not have that option and it will leave our city because Ladd is not up to compliance. I don't know. So is that a risk we want to take? And what does that mean for the city? How big of a deal is it to keep the Senior Bowl here? I think for somebody like me, it's a big deal. It's a feather in our cap, but how much is that worth, too? All right. Let's just, okay, to heck with the Space Force. I had some really cool numbers and stats there, but Fireball wants to talk about rail service. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys, y'all doing a fantastic job. But let's look at it both ways. The rail service, these from the other colleges could catch the rail service into Mobile for the Jaguar games at South Alabama's football stadium. Mm-hmm. And didn't I hear them talking about that it would run from Mobile to New Orleans? And
correct.
Then you could catch it from New Orleans to Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, you can get, you know, you could change trains there, I think, in New Orleans. And it would go the other way. What was interesting is it would go, this is a dad of two children, it would go down to Orlando. So that was the, you know, the interesting thing going east.
Right, would look at it, make a day out of it, go to an Alabama football game, catch a train to New Orleans, and then go from New Orleans to Tuscaloosa for the football game and come back by the train.
All those things are great, but people will argue those things are great, Fireball, and I like that. Let's pack up and go, but they're going to say, hey, why? But should we subsidize that? Can it make money? I mean, that given weekend you're talking about might make money, but is it going to make enough money to keep itself floating on its own without having some infusions of cash?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you know, I can remember my dad talking about when in the 40s, when train riding was popular and people got around by train in the 30s and 40s, where, of course, I just turned 65 and I don't remember. Well, I know I never have rode on a passenger train. Now, out there in Sims, I used to jump the regular train and ride it to Orchard and stuff, and then just fooling around, playing around on the train. Wonder I didn't get run over by the train. But anyway, that's just another story in itself. But I think I would be interested in riding it to New Orleans and then catching it from New Orleans up to Tuscaloosa for a football game and then coming back.
Hey, Fireball, I mean, I love everything about that, okay? That, like, painting the picture, and I would be somebody that would be in for those kind of things, too. It's just the big question, is that something that is going to, you know, what is it going to break even? Is it going to be a encumbrance upon the taxpayers? It's one that, believe me, I like the idea of the train. You do have to ask the dollars and cents questions on it. All right, just a minute or so here, but let's grab Damon before we go to the break. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, great. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment about the stadium. The foundation, South Alabama, that, you know, permission is not to give money for stadiums. But I noticed in research that in 2017 there was an article on AL.com where it referenced where the South Alabama Foundation paid $20 million for the Brookley complex. It bought the land from the university. And that doesn't sound like...
Like down there where the golf course is?
Yes. They paid $20 million to the university. Basically, the university said they didn't have any more use for it. So the foundation gave them $20 million for it. And now they think it's worth $60 million because they're trying to find buyers for it. So I think it tripled in property in value. And
Don't we all, Damon, when we own something?
Absolutely. That's not their mission to invest in a stadium, but it's their mission to buy the complex, Brookley complex.
They own a bunch of land. They own a bunch of timberland, I know, in North Mobile County, some around Salco Road and all that I've seen in the past. Thank you for the call. Thank you for doing the research, too, because I did not see that, but I'm going to Google it right now. And we'll come back at 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. And remember, Danny Litford joins us at 1.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, kind of mixing things up here, Danny Litford joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. So 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig at a now earlier and more convenient time, at least for this week. I said 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. So good to have the 6.5 here in the noon hour.
Yeah, it is good to be here. Man, that snare kicks so hard in that song, just like America.
That's
kicks,
right.
Kicks hard.
Roundhouse kicks.
So we start 6.5 Stories today talking job fairs, Sean.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
You know, we're always having job fairs,
yes.
At least every couple months in our area.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people would agree that job fairs are a good thing for the
community. Yeah, well, if you need a job or you need an employee, sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody running around hating on job fairs, usually.
No, just wait.
Occasionally, though, a job fair can actually hurt your chances at least holding a job. That's what happened last week to Janaea Modest from Champaign, Illinois.
Okay.
So Modest, she's currently employed by a nonprofit where she works with people with mental and physical disabilities. And she's also a DJ. Now, I don't know if she's a radio DJ or a club spinning records DJ.
On the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos. But she recently started thinking about looking for a new job because she says she's trying to move and needed some money.
Okay.
Well, last Friday, she heard about a local middle school there in Illinois that was holding a job fair. And she decided to walk over during her lunch and apply for a position at the school that she was interested in.
Okay.
She tried to be discreet. She went during her lunch break.
Uh-huh.
She went, changed clothes, went to the job fair, and the representatives there requested that she complete an application for the job then and there. So that's what she did. She sat down at a table and filled out the application. She thought that was it. She had applied. Now she just needed to wait and see if she got the job. Well, she was very wrong. That was not the end of the story. Later that same day, when she was at a friend's house, she saw herself on the local news. During a segment on the job fair. And the news actually, she didn't know she was being filmed. They were across the room, zoomed in on her filling in this application.
It was something like, today in Champaign, local hopefuls trying to find jobs at a middle school.
Yeah, and she said all she could think about was, that was the 5 o'clock news, which meant she was also going to be on the 6 o'clock news.
And tonight at 10, more of her.
Yes, exactly, on the 10 o'clock news also. So she said if and when her direct manager there at the nonprofit finds out and pulls her into a meeting, she plans on coming completely clean.
That's good. Honestly, best policy.
Yeah, she sounds
especially
like a good
when you're
person.
On TV. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get around that. She said, I guess this is my time. Everything happens for a reason. Of course, with her currently holding a nonprofit job working with people that have disabilities, she wants to use her new viral fame for good. So she's been pointing the attention to a local shoe drive that she's helping coordinate with friends that collect donations and school supplies for kids in the area. But
So a silver lining to her forthcoming unemployment.
That's correct.
All right, very good.
So she goes looking for a new job, and they found her. The TV found her, and now her manager knows all about it.
I've had many non-profit positions over the years as well. Now, I've worked at it, in trying to fix that, but, there were many jobs I had that were non-profit.
Yeah, you're not alone. have you ever driven a Lamborghini?
Have not.
You haven't. If you did, and I haven't either, but do you think you'd maybe, if you rented a Lamborghini for a week, you'd risk, you know, picking up a ticket or two just so you could drive it the way it's meant to be driven?
You'd want to, you know, I think it would be like vehicles, a few sports vehicles and a 1976 Gran Torino I used to drive that have so much muscle that you can't kind of help yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Like the speed limit's a starting point?
Right. I mean, you could do that. I can't even tell how fast I'm going. Look at that, you know. I might be tempted. I don't want to get a speeding ticket, but I might be tempted to go fast if I was driving a Lamborghini. Yes.
Well, if you rent a Lamborghini, and it's very expensive, I'll tell you how expensive it is in just a second, but you'd think you would want to use it. You wouldn't stay below 65 miles an hour.
Right, right. Okay. Crank the Hagar up and roll, yeah.
Right. Well, a 25-year-old British man, he was willing to risk the speeding tickets and a whole lot more. He racked up $45,000 worth of tickets in just 3 hours after renting a Lamborghini in Dubai last week. And you're wondering, how does he keep getting pulled over?
Yes, that was my question.
Okay, well, that wasn't exactly what happened. So according to The Sun, the unnamed British tourist spent 3 hours blasting along those desert highways in Dubai at speeds up to 150 miles an hour. And whether he was aware or not, high-speed cameras caught the attention, or he caught the attention of the high-speed cameras. They captured his Lamborghini flying over the speed limit over 33 times during that three-hour span.
You get each ticket individually? I mean, it's not like you just get the one?
No, I think they kept stacking them up on top of each other, which led to the over $45,000 in fines. But now it gets really interesting. The man in the rental car company where he rented this car from, now they're in a standoff over who should pay the fines. You would think that it would be the guy behind the wheel.
Right.
But in Dubai, apparently, traffic fines that are accumulated on a rental car are the legal responsibility of the company that owns the vehicle.
Okay, we're going to Dubai, man. We're taking a station trip to Dubai and renting cars.
It sounds like this guy knew about the loophole. According to The Sun, the tourist rented the car for 2 days, and he still hasn't returned the car. I don't know if he doesn't want to, you know, have to pay the fine or whatever.
Well, he's probably trying to find a place to get cheaper gas to fill it up before he brings it back. You know, do you want to get charged with that overage?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Faris Mohammed Iqbal, he's the 26-year-old owner of the rental car company. He told The Sun, "We can't pay this amount should the car be taken into impound. It's still with the tourist parked at his hotel. Who pays the money for the impound? We shouldn't do it for sure. It's his fault, and he should pay that amount." He paid $1,550 to rent the car for 2 days. So over $1,500 to rent a Lamborghini for 2 days, and he gave the rental car company his passport as collateral. Well, you'd think that that collateral would work.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, they say it's unclear whether he can go back to his homeland without the passport, with or without it, because the government, the United Arab Emirates, won't force him to stick around. So, Iqbal said, "We obtained copies of all the violations and immediately submitted a request for a travel ban on the tourist, but they rejected their request for the travel ban."
They don't want. They're cool with that?
I guess so. I guess the United Arab Emirates, they don't care. And asked why he hasn't gone to the tourist hotel if he knows where it is and snatched the Lambo back himself.
Right.
Well, he said that would mean that it would disappear into police custody. He said, "I won't be trying to take it back because once I do, I will have to surrender it to police."
But it's now like in Lamborghini purgatory there in the parking lot at the Dubai Holiday Inn Express?
I guess so. It's sitting there in the hotel. He doesn't want to go get it because the police will impound it. And then he would have to pay the $45,000 to get the car back. But if he just gets the car back and then they figure out what to do with the fines, at least he'll have the Lamborghini sitting back in his lot again.
So we've heard of first world problems. That's a Persian Gulf problem. Seriously. Or something like that.
But I'm sure the guy had fun speeding through Dubai like that.
I would worry about that, though, just because, you know, I don't know the law there in Dubai. I mean, do they chop your right foot off or something if you're speeding? You know, I mean, this is kind of hardcore stuff there.
Yeah, I would be... I would not be the guy to go into Dubai and make anyone mad.
Although, if you know, I don't want to make anybody mad, but yeah, the idea of, you know, racking up the speeding tickets on their tab, I mean,
that would be
temptation.
Fun. All right, you ready for the Florida man story of the week here?
Okay, good. Florida man showing up here early in 6.5 stories.
Very early, and we will have Florida again later in 6.5 stories.
Thank God.
So, when you're in the presence of company, what's the rule again? Don't talk religion and don't talk politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know on Facebook.
That's what I do for a living, yeah.
Yeah, but when you're at the dinner table, you don't want to rile people up normally.
Right.
Well, on Facebook, we know that those rules do not apply.
That's for sure.
So one Facebook argument in Florida left the internet this last Tuesday and turned into gun violence in Tampa, Florida. Police told WTVT 44-year-old Brian Sebring showed up to his Facebook friend's house and shot him twice because of a political argument that the two had online. The victim's been identified as 46-year-old Alex Stevens, who was wounded in the buttocks and thigh.
In the buttocks?
In the buttocks. He shot him in the butt. The Florida Division of Elections identifies Sebring as a registered Democrat, so they did a deep dive to see what political affiliation he was, but it's not known exactly what political topic caused this disagreement. I imagine that Trump was probably involved in the disagreement. Yes. According to local media, criminal affidavit said that Stevens had sent explicit messages and threats to Sebring, prompting Sebring to show up to his home with a Glock pistol and an AR-15. Investigators said that Sebring summoned Stevens from his home by honking the horn. So he pulled up outside, honked the horn.
Y'all come out here.
Stevens responded by charging at Sebring, which you don't do that to a man that's holding a gun.
Right.
If you don't have something to respond back with. Police said that's when Sebring opened fire. He fled the scene, but surrendered later to police. Now he faces felony charges for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and carrying a concealed firearm. And it's not his first violent run-in with the law. In 96 and 97, he was charged with domestic battery. The other guy, the Democrat, he was taken to Tampa General Hospital for his buttocks wounds. So there you go. Two butt-hurt friends get into a fight, and then one leaves actually with some serious butt injuries.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, I mean,
too far.
Y'all, seriously, I mean, chill. I mean, don't want to go through the messages I have to read here daily and all the people that are going to shoot me in the buttocks, but
it's not that serious.
You're going to have to catch me, though, because I'm going to be in a rented Lambo getting speeding tickets. Coming right back, more of 6.5 Stories with that guy right there, Dalton Norwig, right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Yeah, probably not right yet. Maybe next hour with Danny Lifford. Right now we're busy because it's a Friday. We've mixed up the schedule a little bit. An hour earlier, it's 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. All that stuff I missed on the web this week, Dalton didn't. He's bringing it to us. Florida man took us into the end of the last segment. So where are we now? What number?
Story number 4 now.
Okay.
And looks like you left Hawaii just in time, Sean.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, you were on a family trip.
So right.
I don't think you spent any time at the Freedom House in Oahu.
I was on Oahu. That's the island I was on.
Okay.
Well, what's the Freedom House? What happens there?
I'll tell you about it. Maybe you drove by it once or twice. But nudists in Hawaii are being evicted from their rental home that's known as the Freedom House after a Hawaii judge sided with the property manager. They've been in a dispute for a little while here. And according to the Associated Press, the tenants of this Oahu rental home named it the Freedom House, and they had multiple lease violations and disturbances, and they've been accused of running a business out of this rental home.
Okay, well, they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and just go-getters. Neighbors of the Freedom House were apparently angry after the Freedom House's advertised naked parties got out of hand.
Naked parties, okay. Had some of those in college.
Right? Including loud noises and a fire that exploded and consumed a car.
That's a party right there.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
They also reportedly hosted naked yoga events there at the Freedom House. So they may have gotten away with it with just the naked yoga events and the naked parties, but probably the fire that exploded and consumed a car, that's probably a big part of this. Neighbor David Brown claims that he frequently reported the parties to police and that, quote, after the police left, the music went back on, and then very strange animal noises.
No.
Moaning like wolf howling sounds there from the Freedom House. The attorney for the property manager claimed that the tenants operated an illegal business in the home, while Brent Thomas, he was one of the tenants, he disagreed, of course, like the tenants would be expected to do. He claimed, it's just a website that I decided that I could have to have people come together.
Uh-huh.
He thought he was doing a good thing. Yes, so to speak. Another tenant of the Freedom House, her name's Amy Highmore. She claims the only reasons the neighbors and the property manager are taking actions against them is because they oppose their lifestyle and because Highmore frequently complained about the condition of the home, which, if you're having naked parties, you want a spotless home that you're running.
Sure you do. Yes, you do.
She said, I'm a naturalist. This is my religion.
Yeah, that's the term, right?
Yes, that's the term. And I have a right to be nude. I am not offensive. This is what she's telling.
Okay, not offensive. But, I mean, were they inside their house being naked?
I think so. Maybe,
who cares?
Maybe the party spilled out of the house occasionally.
Okay.
Highmore also added that she'd been brutally harassed, where she is so scared that she can't sleep at night. So maybe she's, you know, fluffing her story up a little bit.
I got
there.
You.
And lawyers still working out a date for the tenants to leave the Freedom House as we speak. They're still in there hosting their naked yoga parties and the such.
Well, so I that was on Oahu.
Yeah.
I did not. I went to the Polynesian Cultural Center. I didn't get to go to the Freedom House naked. I missed out. That's the next trip when it's not the family trip. Maybe we'll have to go by the Freedom House.
You got
to
cover the kids' eyes if you drive by the Freedom House.
Very much so.
Sean, you had a story this morning that 30% of people will not date someone if they have an older cell phone, like the flip phones,
mm-hmm.
or even just an older cell phone that doesn't support certain apps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew the world was going crazy when you said that.
Well, and it's shallow. I mean, this is how shallow we are.
Very shallow. And here's another story to demonstrate how shallow Americans have become. Another story to show you how completely insane everyone's gone. I don't know if you're familiar with all the filters that you can put on your pictures in the Instagram and Snapchat
apps. I have seen these before, like with the doggy nose, rabbit ears kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay. The doggy nose. Some people add the fairy wings and glitter, stuff like that. Or some people just use the filters to clean up their skin or make themselves look a little skinnier or just better overall.
That filter, okay.
The skinny filter. Well, now doctors warning of a new trend, plastic surgery patients seeking to look like those filtered versions of themselves.
Oh, no.
They're calling it Snapchat dysmorphia. There's a name for it.
Okay, so dysmorphia is when you feel like you should look differently than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
We've heard that talked about with people with they get so much plastic surgery, their faces fall off and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so many...
They want to look like this celebrity. Like you'd be like, dude, you're not going to look like, you know, so-and-so. You're not going to look like Brad Pitt.
Or even the celebrities have been in the public eye for so long, and they used to look really good, and they would still look decent for their age.
Right.
But they're trying to hang on to that 30, 40-year-old look when they're pushing 70 and 80.
Right.
And it just looks off. It looks awful.
Yes.
So they published this paper this week in the JAMA Facial Plastic Surgery magazine. Like you say, that's one of the best to read.
Love that read.
And it was written by doctors from Boston University School of Medicine. They said it's an alarming trend because those filtered selfies often present an unattainable look and are blurring the line of reality and fantasy for these patients. And of course, they're not looking to get the puppy ears. Well, most people aren't trying to get puppy dog ears added. They're looking for the subtle enhancements, or what they think is subtle.
subtle filter. Okay, go ahead. You got my attention.
Filling their lips, bigger eyes, which that sounds scary.
Which is
to
like
me.
The anime thing. I've heard the overly big eyes.
Yeah, the big, and Snapchat will do that. They have those filters, or even a thinner nose, which I think that's probably one of the more common plastic surgeries that's been done over the years. The 2017 Annual American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery Survey. Says that 55% of plastic surgeons reported patients requesting surgery to improve their appearance in selfies. 55% of the people going in saying that they want to do this for selfies. Most common procedures.
We are sick.
Yeah, we are. Rhinoplasties, those are the most common. Hair transplants and eyelid surgical procedures. Papers authors wrote, it can be argued that these apps are making us lose touch with reality because we expect to look perfectly primped and filtered in real life as well.
Yeah, why not doing it for real reasons, like, you know, trying to get attention of real human beings. That's a good solid reason for, you know, you what a real world attention from the opposite sex, right? Or, hey, it's 2018 from the same sex, whatever you're into.
Uh-huh.
But to do it to look good on social media.
Especially when the filters are already there. Just keep using the filters. You don't need to change your life.
Like, I swear, because I would wig out if you saw somebody with, like, the big, like the Japanese, the anime.
That would be scary.
The big eye kind of thing. Ugh.
Yeah, and they probably shouldn't play poker. They'll give their tails away easily with those big eyes. Let's talk a little Uber.
Okay.
More specifically, Amish Uber.
Amish Uber.
Amish Uber.
Okay.
So, Dateline, Michigan. That is the name of the city in Michigan. Michigan. I looked it up.
Okay.
Amish man named Timothy Hochstedler
That is a name
yes.
that could be Amish.
As, Hosh you know, Stedler.
Like where you're some of your people come from mm-hmm. and so where my people come from up in central Pennsylvania, there's Hosh Stedlers and that kind of, they're all yeah. over the place.
Using his horse and buggy, he's opened his own business called Amish Uber.
This is great. Okay.
He takes riders around St. Joseph County. That's where Colin is located for the low, low price of $5. And let me remind you here, he's Amish, so he may have just found out about Uber like this year.
Right.
Because he told a local TV station, Uber is a cool thing. Every single year, something new comes in, and Uber is hot right now. So we have the Amish Uber. We can deliver people to their front doorsteps.
Okay, but so how are they hailing the Amish Uber? Because the whole thing is the, you know, eschewing of technology. So, you know, with the Uber works because you have an app that shows you with the tech here where the, it can show you where the different buggies were.
Yeah.
And then you would figure out, but you're not supposed to be using the smartphone. So
that's a great question. Yeah. He doesn't have a smartphone, so there's no apps anybody can use. They just flag him down like an old school taxi.
So it's a taxi.
Basically. That is Amish taxi.
And it's really like a rickshaw with a horse at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate to undo all the new, you know, the new tech here, but he's basically running a rickshaw operation with a horse.
Basically.
Carriage rides. Okay.
Becky Phelps, she's a local resident in Colon. She loves Amish Uber. She said, I don't think there's Uber down here, so it's pretty cool. It gives people that option that can't drive or don't want to drive or shouldn't drive. So Amish Uber, next time you're in Colon, Michigan, try to hail down the Amish Uber.
Of course.
Have a fun ride.
I'm just picturing the drunk couple coming back from somewhere that ends up...
You got the Camry. This one has... This is the Uber X. What is this one? It's a buggy. Let's get the buggy. Hey! This would be a great ride.
Yeah, and they do like to party there in Colon, Michigan.
Yes.
I'm sure of it. All right, now for story 6.5, where I give you part of the story and you fill in the rest. And for this one, we head back to Florida.
Yes, thank goodness.
Even better, a Chuck E. Cheese in Florida.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. On July 27th.
Parlay time.
The Chuck E. Cheese in St. Petersburg, Florida had to shut down for an entire day. So for this week's 6.5 story, what happened that caused the Chuck E. Cheese in Florida to close for a day?
It's in Florida. And so the easy one is going to be a guy runs in with an alligator and chases the kids around. That's
yeah.
probably what everybody would think.
They wouldn't shut it down for that.
But it's probably not. And the people already shot each other there in mm-hmm. Bradenton. So they went, what happened to Chuck E. Cheese and shut the thing down? And where in Florida?
St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg. Oh, St. Old people showed up.
No.
A bunch of old people showed up.
No. Now, what do you think of? What animal do you think of when you think of Chuck E. Cheese?
Well, a rat.
Yes. Or mice.
Well, yeah.
Rats and mice.
Yeah, but it's a big, creepy animatronic rat.
I urge you now, put down your food for just a second.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Health inspectors shut him down after finding more than 130 rodent droppings in the kitchen. It's like some kind of sick karmic retribution for having the rat there. They also found evidence of, quote, rodent activity in the front counter area and toy storage closet. So they went ahead and shut the place down. They blamed maintenance issues at an adjacent restaurant, said they're bringing aggressive measures to bring the location into full compliance. So they shut down for a day, reinspected, allowed them to reopen. But wouldn't you know it, the next day there was still a gigantic mouse standing right there in the middle of the restaurant. This one was singing and cracking jokes.
Ladies and gentlemen, 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. Excellent. Thank goodness it wasn't. They've got the drummers, that giant gorilla.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want those droppings, right? So,
Not at all.
That it would be mice than gorilla droppings. All right, hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way. Danny Lipford joins us next.